Man, what a blessing that was as well. I tell you, as we prepare all week long and we have the staff doing what they're doing, and everyone knows that most important day of the week is Sunday. And it's just a blessing to see all the hard work put into the making the service what it is. And God honors that. God blesses that. And we have His presence in this place, and then it all comes together. And I trust you can sense the presence of God here this morning, and you've already been blessed. If we dismiss right now and went home, we would be better off because we were in church today. Amen. Praise the Lord for it. What a blessing. But we're not going to dismiss right now. We're going to spend a few more minutes here. And so if you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 11. Now, Jesus has began his public ministry. He came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then he was baptized to give us an example to look to follow after, and the mode of baptism and understanding the need after receiving Christ to publicly identify with Him. And so He set the example. And right after the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find chapter 4. In chapter 4 in the book of Matthew, and also in the book of Luke in chapter 4, you find the temptation of Christ in detail and presented to us. And so if you'll stand this morning, we're going to be reading verses 1 down to verse 11, the temptation of Christ. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' And Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before You this morning, it is a blessing to be assembled together in Your house. Thank You for what we've already received. But Father, as we open up this passage of Scripture, and I believe this is exactly where we need to be this morning, I pray, God, that You would bless the preaching of Thy Word. I pray that You'd give each one here an ear to hear and a heart to make an application. Pray that You would use me once again to bring forth Your message to Your people from Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Immediately following the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus faced a 40-day battle with Satan. A 40-day where he would not eat or drink. A 40-day battle. I believe that this needs to be placed in every history book as one of the greatest battles of all times. Just imagine what would have happened if this battle was lost. We go back in some of the great battles of history as the world wars. And can you imagine what would have happened if we would have lost World War I or we would have lost World War II? Devastation, no doubt. But can I tell you that what happened, what would have happened if this Jesus would have lost this battle with the devil would have caused more devastation than any other battle that has ever been fought. Demonic spirits would have taken up residence in every human being on earth because they would have no power against the devil. They would have no power against evil spirits. Man would be without hope. There would be no way of being reconciled to God. When you died a physical death, you would go immediately into a devil's hell with no hope of ever escaping. They would not have the plan of salvation. If Jesus would have lost this battle, then no one would have been able to be saved. Evil would have overcome the world. There would not have been a Bible, neither would there have been a church. Can you imagine the devastation if this battle had been lost? And yet, I believe that Christianity faces these very same battles on a regular basis. We're not going to be able to get into it this morning, but if Lord will, I'm going to spend a couple weeks in helping us to understand exactly what's here in this temptation of Christ and why it was recorded. But you'll find that these three temptations at the very end, after the 40-day battle, these were the climax, if you will, what Satan was really after. And you'll find that each one of these identify with one with the lust of the flesh, one with the lust of the eyes, and one with the pride of life. Exactly what we face today. Spiritual battles. Spiritual battles. We praise God that Jesus won this battle. And because he won this battle, it has been recorded in his word to be preached in his church. I'm telling you, what you understand this, we could shout and just praise God for understanding the blessings of Christ winning this battle. Amen. This morning I want to preach to you the divine purpose for recording the temptation of Christ. The divine, what God had intended, the reason why we have this recorded in the Gospels to be read, studied, and preached. The first reason would be to exalt Jesus Christ. I love that because we need to exalt Christ on a regular basis. We need to understand how high and mighty he is. We need to understand that Jesus Christ is the only begotten, one of a kind, no one else like him, Son of God. We need to understand that Jesus Christ is part of the Trinity of the Godhead. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that Jesus Christ has been eternal. There was never a time when he was not. And some 2,000 years ago, he willingly came and became a man. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He lived a life as an example for all Christianity to look to. He went to Calvary's cross and he paid there our sin debt, a debt that we owed and could not pay. And he paid it for us. Amen. Defeated the devil in hell. Resurrected on the third day to prove that he was and is the only begotten Son of God. Amen. The only Savior of humanity. Yeah. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And yes, he went to the cross where he was crucified. But he identified with man. This was Jesus identifying with humanity. It was right after the baptism. Right after he gave us an example, once you get saved, you need to follow me in believer's baptism. And right after that, you're going to face spiritual warfare like you've never faced before. You're going to be tempted every day of your life. You're going to be tempted to turn away from the gospel. You're going to be tempted to turn away from the life that Jesus Christ would have us to live, the life that he gave us an example to look to and to follow after. And today, can I tell you that we are either living a victorious Christian life and living and following Jesus Christ as we ought to live, or we have lost the battle to the tempter and we are not living as Christ would have us to live. And we are not living the victorious Christian life. We are not experiencing the joy. We are not experiencing that peace that God wants us to have. We are living miserable lives because we are defeated every day of our lives because we're giving in to the tempter. Hebrews in chapter 4, Hebrews in chapter 4, verses 14 down to verse 16. He identified with mankind. One of the first things that he identified with mankind is he wanted us to realize that no matter how you have been tempted, he has been tempted in a greater degree than what you could ever imagine. 40 days of no food, 40 days. His body was in the weakest state without dying. His mind, his heart, his physical makeup, just like yours and I, mine. In his weakest state, he then took on everything that Satan had to throw at him. Knowing that in this New Testament church age, every born-again believer is going to face temptation and Satan is going to throw everything he has at you. Yeah. Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." If Satan will, he'll get you to turn away from what you know to be biblical, what you know to be what Jesus Christ established, your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that I am a born-again believer, knowing that God has made me the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and he has given me a different way to live than what the world lives. Hold on to what you profess to be, the doctrines of Christ. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He has experienced it all for us, but was in all points, look right here, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. We go back to the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's exactly what we find that he's referring to. He went through the greatest temptation that mankind could ever know. Satan unleashed every tactic that he had at him. He used every device that he can use against humanity, against Christ. He gave him everything that he could put out there to get him to tempt him with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life to get him to fall to temptation. But was in all points. You've not experienced the temptation that Jesus Christ cannot identify with. Tempted. Like as we are today, yet without sin. Knowing that, let us, therefore, knowing this, if we understand this temptation of Christ and we truly put it in the context that God wants us to put it in and see it as God has delivered it to us, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find, and we need this in our everyday lives, grace to help in time of need. No matter what battle you're going to face in your life, no matter what temptation that you have you find yourself under, if you turn to God and his grace, you'll have the help you need to overcome it. A 40-day battle. A 40-day battle to give us an example to look to. Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 2 and 3, it says this. Let me just read it to you. Hebrews 12 and 2. Looking unto Jesus. Listen to me, Christian. If you lose sight of this, you are going to fall. We need to always keep Jesus Christ, exalt Jesus Christ in your heart and mind. Exalt him to be the example that you need to look to. Exalt him to be able to help you to make the right decision and follow the direction that he gives you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. Do we consider Christ on a regular basis? We are tempted on a regular basis. Do we consider Christ and his will and his way for our lives? Looking into Jesus, he says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest we be wearied. If we're not considering him, faint in your own minds. Now, the first purpose for the recording of the temptation of Christ is to exalt Jesus Christ, our example to look to every day. Every day when the tempter comes, when those suggestions are put in your mind, because Satan can suggest, he cannot force you, but he can put suggestions into your mind to tempt you. The temptation is not sin. It's yielding to that thought, yielding to that act, yielding to that temptation is when it becomes sin. And we have facing that every day. Every day of our lives. What an important passage of Scripture. First of all, to exalt Christ. To exalt Christ. The second purpose, divine purpose, is first of all to exalt Jesus Christ, our example to look to. The second is to expose Satan as a great tempter that he is. And not only the great tempter that he is, the Antichrist influence that he is. We're living in a world that, as we taught in Sunday school this morning, is getting worse and worse, and we're going to come under greater and greater temptations to turn from the teachings of Christ. Turn from the teachings of Christ in every area of life. The world that we live in today, they are anti-Christ in their makeup of humanity, in their makeup of marriage, in their makeup of what they ought to look to live their lives, the expectations they have of their own children, the expectations that the world has for one another. Listen to me. We have the commandments of God through the testimony and the words of Jesus Christ. We ought to look to them and not look to the world that's going to lead us in an anti-Christ mentality. To expose Satan as a great tempter, an antichrist, and deceiver of man that he is. You see in verse 3, and when the tempter came, the tempter, Satan is the tempter. He is the antichrist. He is the adversaries. He is the one that is the most dangerous adversary that we have. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and if I go too fast for you, write these verses down. This is all Bible. That's what I want you to get is a Bible message. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 2 in verse 11, as Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, he says this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. If you have the testimony of Jesus Christ, if you have a copy of his word, this Bible, this New Testament Bible, for this New Testament church age, you're not ignorant of his devices. You know who Satan is and you know how he works because God has revealed it to us. Being ignorant of Satan, our adversary, is one of the most dangerous things that anyone could ever have happened to him. Yeah. Human philosophies want to deny the existence of Satan. They want to tell humanity it's just whatever evil you have in your heart. Satan is just that evil thought that you have. Satan is just that evil heart that you have. And if you turn from that, there is no devil to fear. Yeah. Can I tell you, as we study the Bible, we find out that he's a spirit. Not only is he a spirit, he has at his bidding underneath him an innumerable amount of other angels or spirits that are following him, which are looked as demons. And they are all around us. They're in a different dimension. We cannot see them with the naked eye. But before there's a temptation, there's an evil presence. If we're ignorant of that, then we will fail to defend ourselves against that evil presence. And if you fail to defend yourself against that evil presence, and that evil presence would influence you to do and to go a direction that the devil wants you to go. Yeah. Curtis Hudson, an old-time evangelist. I love to read Brother Hudson. I've heard him preach. I heard him preach the last message before he died of cancer. And on the winning side, what a great message that was. But I remember him preaching and teaching about Satan's presence. He's actually wrote a pamphlet on it as well. We talked about being ignorant of Satan's presence, and he talked about a boxer. And this boxer, he had his trainer had got him into a fight that where he was overmatched. And after going out in the first round, almost got knocked out in the first round. He was beaten, and the comes back to the trainer. The trainer's sitting there taking care of his wounds and splashing water in his face. He said, "Go back out there and get him. He hasn't laid a glove on you." And he goes back out there and gets pummeled again, and he barely makes it through the bell, and he comes back, and he gets back in there, and the trainer throws water in his face, and he starts cleaning up his wounds, and he says, "Go back in there and get him. He still hasn't laid a glove on you yet." He comes back after the third round, beaten, I mean, bloody pulp. And he says, "Go back in there and get him. He said he hasn't laid a glove on you yet." And he looked at his trainer and said, "Then keep an eye on the referee, because somebody's beating me up. If he's not doing it, somebody's doing it, because I am a bloody mess." And sometimes we're getting beat up and we deny the existence of the devil. You can never get victory, spiritual victory over the devil, if you deny his existence. Yeah. To deny that he exists will never get us the victory over him. Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians in chapter 2. Verses 2 and 3. This is so true. Verse 1, he says in Ephesians 2, Paul writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Those that were lost were dead to God because of your trespasses and sins. But he's made you alive through Jesus Christ. But he says this in verse 2, "Wherein, in times past, ye walked according to the course of this world." You let the world dictate how you lived your life, because that's all you were aware of. It's before you got saved, before you understood the scriptures, before you knew who Jesus Christ was possibly. But that's what he said, "Wherein in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." That's the devil. He works in the world. He works through the flesh. He works through the pride of mankind. But this is a prince of the power of the air, the spirit. See, Satan is a spirit. If you're looking for a little red devil with pitchforks and a horn, you're not going to find that. That's a cartoon character. And if Satan can get you to think that's who he is, and you make fun of him and you laugh at him, you are not going to ever overcome his temptations. When you see him as one of the most powerful angels ever created by God, an archangel, but a fallen angel. A fallen angel that the book of Isaiah tells us about, that God kicked out of heaven, and one third of all the angels in heaven. And their habitation is this earth. You can't see them, but they're here. And you can experience their presence through a thought, through a temptation to do something that would be anti-Christ, would be opposite the will of God for your life. We put ourselves in places where it's easy for us to be tempted, and we need to make sure that we do not do that, but too often we do it anyway. And we open the door for Satan, the tempter, to control our thoughts through our lust, through our hearts, through our minds. Before you know it, we have forsaken the words of God, and we have fallen prey to the devil, and we're going in a direction that's opposite the will of God. Every day it happens. Every day. He is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Not only the lost, but the children of God, those that get saved that are disobedient, that are turning away from Him. It's not because that's your desire. It's because of your temptation that you've yielded to. He changes your desire. Among whom also we all. Not just, it doesn't happen to just one every now and then. It happens to every one of us. It says, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That means that we have heaven to look forward to. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. You can't do it on your own. It's the gift of God. If Satan is not real, then God is a liar. And I serve a God that cannot lie. I serve a God that wants me to be aware of every battle that I face. And there has never been a greater battle fought than the battle fought of the temptation of Christ. It's for us to learn from. It's recorded for us to learn, us to read and hear it preach, exalt Jesus Christ, to expose Satan as the great tempter that he is. And finally, the third thing, that it's divine. It's what God preserved it for us for, to educate man to our need for God's Holy Spirit. Go back with me to our text. Maybe you've looked over this. You didn't see this, but it's right there. The last thing is to educate man to our need for God's Holy Spirit. We are in need of God, and we're in need of God's Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity of God, the part in this New Testament church age where He comes to dwell within us. If you get saved, then you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Look right here. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. He didn't go to face Satan on His own. Now realize that Jesus is God, and God the Father, God the Son, God, they're all three one, but three different persons. But again, Jesus was here to give us an example to look to. And so it's recorded that He was led. If you'd look over to Luke's account in chapter 4, but let me just tell you what it says so you don't have to turn there, but it says that in the very same first verse, Luke chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit. That's recorded for us to educate man to our need for God's Holy Spirit. Being filled is being empowered by. The Bible tells us that we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to be filled. Now, what is that? When you get saved, you have all the Holy Spirit inside of you that you'll ever have. But the more you're aware of God in you,
the fuller you become. And the more you yield to the Spirit of God that dwells within you, His Spirit bearing witness with your spirit, He can help you to keep the right thoughts on your mind. He can help you to keep the right kind of heart. He can help you in making the right decisions. If you're not aware of the devil and you're not aware of the Holy Spirit of God, listen to me, you're going to fall prey to the devil's temptations. But if you're aware of the Spirit of God and you know that He dwells within you as a born-again believer, then you can yield to Him and He will give you the help that you need to overcome the temptations of your mind and the temptations of your heart and the temptations of your lives. Jesus, the Bible says, not only was He full of the Holy Spirit, but He was led of the Holy Spirit so that we might understand if He could not do it without the filling of the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit, neither can we. If we're being filled, being led, we can't lose. You see, being filled is empowered by, being led is being submissive to, submitting ourselves to. Before you can ever resist the devil, you got to submit yourself to God, because outside of God, you're no match for the devil. Ephesians in chapter 6, and we're done. I want to show you this, and we're done. Ephesians in chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. If He tells us to do it, we can have it. Stop trying to do it in your strength. Stop trying to do it with your wisdom, your mentality, your thinking. You're going to fall prey to the devil. You can't outthink Satan. You can't overpower the devil. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Being filled is being empowered. You cannot be filled with the Spirit without receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you're not saved, you're just playing the religious game, you're going to fall to temptation. You cannot live the Christian life as God wants you to live it, because you're not filled with the Spirit of God. If you've been saved, whether you understand it or not, you have the power of God in you, waiting for you to acknowledge it. He'll never force you. He'll never make you do anything. Satan cannot make you, and God will not make you, but He says, I want you to know I'm in you. When you receive my Son, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then automatically, as soon as you got saved, Jesus sent the Spirit of God to dwell within you. And His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit if you will allow His Spirit to bear witness with your spirit. It'll help you in your mindset. It'll help you in your thinking. It'll help you in your heart. But you have to yield. You have to be saved, first of all, to be filled. And then you have to be led. You have to submit to it. So often, I as a pastor, I see this all the time. I preach the message. I know it's a message God wanted to preach. And I know the Holy Spirit of God's been working on many in the congregation. And the invitation comes, and they're doing everything to try to distract from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not going to force you. He's going to bring conviction, but you have to yield to it. And the way you yield to it is saying, God, yes, that was for me, and I'm going to make a decision. And you come to the altar and make the decision, and you leave here with peace in your heart toward you and God, because you yielded to Him. And now you have the strength of God on your side. You have His help on your side to go out and live the victorious Christian life. But if you try to block it out and you act like it didn't happen, act like that it's not really going on in your life, surely that's not the Spirit of God. That's something else going on around me. And you can do it. He's not going to force you. But you'll leave here and you'll be more vulnerable than ever before to the tempter. Submission. In order to have this, we must be saved. And then, once you're saved, you have to submit. Are you winning the battle with the tempter? Just look at your life right now. I don't know. Only you know what's going on in your mind throughout the week. What's going on in your life when you're on that computer. What's taking place, where you're going, people you're associating yourself with, the types of things that you do through the week. But I guarantee you, God sees it all. And it's being recorded in your own heart and mind. Ask yourself right now, am I losing more battles than I'm winning? There's a battle going on. There's a battle for your mind going on, a spiritual battle. There's a battle going on for your heart. There's a battle going on for your testimony. Are you winning more battles than you're losing, or are you losing more battles than you're winning? If you're losing temptation's battles, you need to be at this altar. You need to be confessing and forsaking and being filled and being led by the Spirit. That's the only way we're going to overcome the tempter, being filled and being led. What a great testimony that Jesus has given to us. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. One of the greatest battles of all time, and so many never acknowledge it. So many live their whole lives without ever acknowledging the battle of the temptation of Christ. Are we winning? Or are we losing? I choose to win. I choose to live the victorious Christian life. If you choose that, you have the help available to you in the filling and in the leading. If you choose it. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for this testimony of our Savior. And oh, how we need to exalt you because of it. And how we need to understand Satan is real. And we can do this, and we know how he works. We know his devices. We know how we need to be educated. Lord, I pray that there would not one person leave this church service today without being educated on at least knowing what they need to do to win the victorious Christian life. Pray, God, right now, if there's someone that's here that's lost, that they would come to be saved. Work in our midst in this invitation in Jesus' name.